Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Well, the Brisbane Lions engineered one of the more impressive wins of round eight, but they might have just paid the biggest price too. A couple more knee reconstructions, and they add to a growing injury list. And at 3-5, they have the Adelaide Crows at the Adelaide Oval this coming Sunday. The Lions head of footy. Danny Daly is always very good to us here at SEN. Good afternoon, Danny.
Afternoon, Sam. How are you, man?
Going all right. I'm going all right. Let's start on a positive front, because Logan Morris makes his debut after eating a truckload of Maccas. Is it, what sort of week's the dietitian had up there at the footy club?
Yeah, it's an amazing little story for Logan. And if it was going to happen to anyone, it's going to happen to Logan, for those of your listeners who might know him. But our dietitian probably wasn't too happy with his... with his choice of food after the game, but it made for a good story. So she's all good, our dietitian. She does a great job here. So she'll have him well and truly back on track this week, I would have thought.
Yeah, it was a myth-busting debut, if he can get away with that and perform like he did. I suppose, though, the one non-negotiable is there's a lesson to all players here. Maybe keep a pair of footy boots in the boot.
Well, pretty much. And we actually spoke to our playing group about that yesterday, in terms of if you're in emergency, probably don't expect to play, but always expect to play. So
yeah.
A good lesson for him and a good lesson for us to remind our boys of that. But again, it added to the story, didn't it?
Unbelievable. And I suppose the carnage of Sunday night, I know Chris spoke about it in the aftermath. I think he went as far as to say that he'd never seen anything like it in all his years of football. And as a result, it was one of the, if not the best win he's been involved in. But what does it look like in the moment, Danny, when you're just scrambling and it's one thing after the other, and you lose Link and you lose Darcy, and you have Noah Answorth with concussion, you have Stas injure himself in the warm-up? It must just be like bailing water out of a sinking boat.
Yeah, well, it was, but it's one of those ones you just got to deal with it as quickly as you can and keep calm and, make the right decisions. And, when Stas went down, we scrambled a little bit trying to find Logan, and we basically said to Logan, mate, we mightn't have to use you tonight, so don't worry too much. But lo and behold, he was on 15 minutes into the first quarter, so that plan went pretty AWOL pretty early. But again, it's one of those ones you've got to try and keep as calm as you can, and when the injuries happen, they happen, and you just got to move on as quickly as you can whilst making sure that you're your well-being team and your medical team are helping the boys that got injured on the side as well. But, we managed our way through it well, and the playing group did a great job in, putting it behind them and just getting on with the game and producing the performance that they did.
And and actually, just on that point, Danny, like the players know, like they know that there's only two fit players on the bench, and they know they're up against it with more than a half of football to go. So I guess mentally it's a test for them as much as anything, because they know the odds are stacked against them.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think our boys adjusted really well in terms of, how to play the game when you've only got a couple on the bench, in terms of trying to hold on to the ball a little bit more. And we've seen it over the last few weeks. Port Adelaide, I think, did it against St Kilda, mate. Essendon or St Kilda, one of those teams where they lost some players. But there's also a school of thought around that, you talk about rotations, and they are big in football, but, some players like staying on the ground and getting into the groove. And, when you've got your 18 players on the ground and only two guys on the bench players get more game time and they're probably able to adjust a bit more to the game style that we're playing to. So there are some pros as well in all of this.
And just the, I guess, in managing the situation, you change the way that you play. The uncontested marks were extraordinarily high, obviously well above average, and you're playing a different way to I guess, you know, deal with the hand that you've been dealt. Take us through, what does that conversation look like, Danny, in the moment when Chris and the coaching staff explain to the players the way it's going to play out? What does that look like internally?
Yeah, well, we're not fortunate, but at halftime we sort of knew we were down a lot of soldiers. So we were able to, in that 20-minute period, really reinforce to our playing group about the position we're in and what we needed to do with our ball movement. So you got a little bit more time when you know you're in that position halfway through the game as compared to, you know, during the third or last quarter. So, you know, we were able to really communicate that well with our team at halftime, and they were able to go out then and do what they did. But again, at three-quarter time, we did the same thing. And, you know, it was our message right throughout the second half, more than anything, about, you know, just controlling the football and holding onto the ball as much as we can. So the boys had a lot of time to adjust to it and then a lot of time to do it. So it worked out pretty well for us in the end.
And just the last couple on the knee. So when Lincoln goes off and Darcy does too, and I know it was a bit the same with Kitty Coleman, I guess, what does it look like on the bench with doctors these days and the tests that they do? I mean, it's always subject to scans, which you had to wait on, but how accurate are doctors in the moment on game day now with the tests they can do? Are they 99.999% sure most of the time?
Yeah, I reckon. And all club doctors across the league, they're professionals and they've been around for a long period of time. And, yeah, they're pretty well on the money 95% of the time, I would have thought. So, you know, they go downstairs and do the tests on them and see how much gives in the knee, et cetera, and they pretty well know straight away. So, you know, of all the knees that we've done this year, the docs were pretty adamant straight away. They'd done them and they were pretty right with them all. So, yeah, unfortunately. So, but... yeah, they're pretty good with their assessments, the docs.
They've had a bit of practice, unfortunately, up your way. So that's five since July, I think, and it would be six if you counted Sam Doherty of opening round at the Blues now, all at the Gabba, that is. So what does that conversation look like, Danny? Is it just freak coincidence, or do you obviously go through the due diligence steps to just to make sure, I suppose, as best you can, that it is a freak coincidence?
Yeah, no, we do our due diligence. We've done a lot of work already this week talking to the Gabba, talking to the AFL, getting vision to, you know, the specialist, ground specialist. A couple of them were collision incidents, so you take those ones out of it, but there's been four that aren't. And, you know, early days we feel it's just bad luck, but, you know, as a football club, and all football clubs do the same, we spend a lot of time going through everything to make sure that there isn't anything with the Gabba or even our own training venue, making sure the ground is as close to the Gabba as it can be in terms of the hardness and all that, so that the players aren't going from one extreme to the other. So we've had a couple of meetings this week. We'll continue to do that with the Gabba, our own groundsman, the AFL, and we'll come up with some sort of conclusion as to whether they were just freak accidents or whether we need to do something. So yeah, that's a work in progress for us right now.
Yeah, but at the moment, you're comfortable in saying, subject to some further investigations, that it's just a shocking run of bad luck.
Pretty much. And I spoke to both boys who did their knees, and they thought that the ground was fine. They just had, you know, Dizzy pulled up pretty quickly and got his heel jarred in the ground and it twisted. And the same as Link, he just fell awkwardly, he said. So there's no blame at all from any of our players about the ground per se.
Yeah.
But you still do your due diligence anyway. You've got to do that as a football club.
Now, I know you've got the full week break, the 7 days, but it is an interstate trip for you to Adelaide. Is it a lighter week? I mean, is it really going easy on them this week on the track?
Yeah, pretty light session today. The craft session, really. They didn't do much at all, the boys. So, you know, we need to look after them pretty much this week. And, you know, they're fit enough and we know all that. So we'll have a bigger session on Friday, but not a normal main session. And then we'll head over to Adelaide on Saturday morning, do a quick Crapton's run on Saturday morning and hit the ground running on Sunday against Adelaide, which will be a good game of football and a tough game of football for us.
Yeah, and in losing those three players, obviously they need to be replaced. I'm not sure if there's anyone you can nominate now that's in contention to return or to come in. You got any more Bruces tucked away?
We've got a couple running around in the seconds, and we've got some players, you know, like Jackson Pryor, who's played a few games, is performing well. Young Shadow Brain, who hasn't played a game yet, but he's been performing really well, so he'll be in line for selection. Kellar Cheese available again. So we've got a few soldiers to come back and maybe a couple of Brewster reveals in the background. But, you know, with adversity comes opportunity. So, you know, it's really bad luck for the guys that are out at the minute, but it creates opportunity for some younger guys. And, you know, Harry Sharp played a really good game on the weekend, and Brucey played a good game. And, you know, of course, Logan was pretty good in his first game. So it gives these guys opportunities, which is great for our football club.
And so how many spots or vacancies would you have, Danny, for the mid-season draft? Would it be as many as four at the moment?
Pretty much. So what are you doing, mate?
Well, I don't know obviously not obligated to fill all four, but, I mean, how active, and I wouldn't recommend you looking down here, but how active do you think you would be at this stage?
No, I think we'll be pretty active, mate. I think we'll at least take three, if not four. So, you know, Steve Canal and Dom Ruggio, our list manager, are hard at work scouring the country. And, again, they're doing their due diligence, and we'll get a few players in the mid-season draft for sure, 100%.
I better ask you about Will Ashcroft, because a few people texting in to say, how's Will going? How is he going, Danny? What's the latest with him?
He's going well. He was kicking the ball around the training today, and he's really progressing really well. We're not putting a time frame per se on it as yet, but yeah, he'll definitely play again this year. But yeah, he's progressing really well, and he's in a good frame of mind, and he'll be a great asset for us in the back half of the season, getting back into our AFL team. So we look forward to him coming back in the back half of the year.
Yep. I listened to Hugh McCluggage yesterday. He's doing a great job combating all those contract questions. I mean, basically, you're in talks, aren't you? And this is the negotiating 101. It doesn't appear as though there's any danger of you losing him. You just got to come to, I guess, terms that are fair and reasonable for both.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, Huey spoke really well at his press conference, and we're in really good talks with Dave Trotter, his manager, and, you know, they're making ground, and we're getting somewhere reasonably quickly. So, they're all going well. So hopefully we get something done in the next few weeks there.
Great to talk to you, mate. Thanks for making yourself available again, and good luck for the remainder of the week and the trip over to Adelaide. And hopefully you get out of this next one with a clean bill of health for a change. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Sam. All the best.
There's Danny Daly there, the Brisbane Lions General Manager of Football. They're up Sunday. Last order of business, I reckon, that one against Adelaide to close round 9. It's a 4 o'clock start over there.